Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
We are brought to you tonight by Lavazzi International, the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sinks, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, bike design, or maybe their puzzle design. Check them out, lavazzi.co.uk. LOVASI.CO.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. The promo code is FANGO, and you will go ahead and save yourself 25% off of any purchase. Now back to the show.
Keep that frequency clear.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fire.
Coming at you! Welcome to a new edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. Mac, my baked up edition. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California, Brantford, Ontario, O Canada, Wilmington, North Carolina, and of course, the star of the show, Marco from Waco. Of course, he refuses to watch that TV show, Proteus, as I like to say every single time, that's filmed in Waco, Texas. How many times has that happened? We're coming at you live and unedited from doing two shows, Proteus. Yeah, I'm already thrown off. UFC Fight Night, State Crew versus Okami. And I'm thrown off because I'm still waiting for Hoo-Ah and OSP. UFC Fight Night, State Crew versus Okami, also known as UFC Fight Night 117 or 117 and a half or 117 and whatever's up. We will be held, of course, September 23rd in Japan, and also coming to you from the Bay Area, Proteus. Unfortunately, I will not be there because I have to travel. Bellator 183, Henderson versus Patrici Pitbull will be held Saturday night. How do you like that, Proteus? At the SAP Center in San Jose, California. Will be, of course, on Spike TV, and UFC Fight Night will be on FXX.
What?
Exactly. FXX. How about that? Let's meet the host, Proteus. Fighting out of the Blue Devil, Blue Corner. I have to make sure that I get that, Proteus, even though you are, of course, a Tar Heel fan. Let's meet the beautiful lady, the one and only Pam. Hit it!
Good evening, everyone.
Pammy, the Blue Devil Blue Corner. Who's your Blue Devil of the night tonight?
Christian Laettner. No.
Figures. Everybody hates Christian Laettner. Oh, my God.
I just had to say that. That was stupid. That was funny, though, right?
Thank you, dummies.
Yeah. You know what? Didn't Christian Laettner have neck issues?
My neck and my back.
Did he have? Oh, my gosh.
Didn't
it's
he?
So funny.
Well, all right. Let's meet the other host, guys. Fighting out of the... You know what? Even though North Carolina State is red, but we're going to stick with the North Carolina light blue red corner. How do you like that, Pammy? Your nemesis.
Oh my gosh.
The one and only Prados. Hit it.
Maza.
Darn it, I didn't get it in time. And you know why, Proteus? Because I want your song to roll. To roll. Exactly. We got to be careful with that, though, because then people are really going to know that we edit. And we never edit our shows, right?
Never.
We're always perfect, just like Adelaide Bird.
Oh, my God.
All All right. Thank you, judges. All right. Let's meet the star of the show, guys. Not only is Pammy, of course, the face of the show because she's so gosh darn attractive, but
oh,
we also have another attractive person in Waco, Texas, that refuses, ouch, that refuses to watch the only show filmed in Waco. Hit it!
Marco from Waco, El Pro, the Señor of the Blue Red Corner, and the Señor of the Purple Corner.
That's right, and you're in
the
Waco
corner. I'm the red corner because Texas is so Republican red, it's ridiculous.
You know what? You're actually right. From going forward, Marco, you're going to be the red corner. Pam's going to be the Blue Devil Blue Corner, and Proteus will be the Tar Heel Blue Corner. How do you like
the
that?
The purple corner.
Exactly.
What's the purple? Bruises? Oh. I don't know.
Like burning the purple dinosaur?
That's right, Hoser.
Oh, I just got Barney. Okay, I got the dinosaur Barney. Oh, okay.
I'd prefer to go with Figment, please. Thank you very much.
What is that? Is that the sea monster? Figment the sea monster?
Wow. Whoops.
Is that Figment the sea monster?
Who is him? Guys, hang on a second.
Hey, how about the Scarlet Pumpernickel?
Ah, Scarlet Pumpernickel, Red Corner.
Yeah,
just out of curiosity.
That is an old Daffy Duck reference, if you get it, man.
I love Daffy Duck. Just out of curiosity, guys, I want you guys to right now name me the biggest sort of wannabe monster that you guys have in your state. I'll give you a prime example. California, especially upper North Carolina. California is known for, of course, the fake Bigfoot, right? Which doesn't exist. Proteus, what do they have in Canada? What's the biggest myth monster that you guys have?
Myth monster?
Myth. Like it's a myth.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like my UFC record. Or you know what else is a myth, Proteus? Is the title defenses that Conor McGregor has.
Boom, mm-hmm. Boom.
Nothing? All right.
Yeah, I think that we'd have to be, I'd have to agree with you that Bigfoot is probably the only thing that would probably be around here, or some kind of ice monster as well that lives up north. But we don't really get into that kind of stuff like you guys do.
Ouch, what are you trying to say? Tammy, what is the biggest myth monster that you guys have in North Carolina? Does that make sense? Like mythological monster, like the, yeah.
Yeah, we have the chupacabras here.
No, you don't, do you?
No.
Oh, all right.
No.
And by the way,
funny, oh my goodness.
Not to make light of this, we want to make sure that we get this out. Hang on, let me give you a rim shot. We want
to
make sure we get this out. Obviously, there's been a lot of issues with weather. Obviously, everyone that was affected in the East Coast and in the South, and obviously Mexico. We do have quite a few number of Mexican listeners. We want to make sure that they know that our heart goes out to all the earthquake that happened in Mexico City, and our thoughts and prayers are going out with to our listeners in Mexico. So we just want to make sure we get that out. So my apologies for being serious for a second. But Marco, what is the biggest mythological monster you guys have in Texas?
Okay, before I go with that mythological monster, let's not forget Puerto Rico that got hit by a second Category 5 hurricane.
Oh my gosh.
So those guys,
yep.
Puerto Rico is suffering too right now. By Hurricane
Maria,
Category 5 hurricane. Yeah, it happened today. It's all over the news. But usually we will claim the chupacabras because there was a lot of chupacabras freaking sightings here in Texas for a long time. But I'm gonna go big. I'm going to go with UFOs because we got the White Sands former nuclear testing area, and that is UFO central in freaking South Texas, man. So UFOs, aliens, little gray men, all those
I thought they were in
outer space. We got some
you and GS people.
I thought they were in your state, Pam.
I know. White Sands is in New Mexico. What are you talking about?
No, White Sands testing grounds is in South Texas, right next to El Paso. I trained there, Pam.
I know. Well, I'm from Las Cruces. Yeah, I'm from Las Cruces. My dad worked at White Sands.
I know. And you should know that all these stories about freaking flying thingies and flying triangles and flying everything with all these military bases we got here in Texas, that even me on the military, I don't know what I was seeing on the sky sometimes.
I think it was the Llorona.
The Llorona.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is, Proteus?
El Cucuy. Yeah. It was El Cucuy.
Aliens.
Well.
By the way, I will say this, guys. Isn't the biggest myth of all? I mean, let's be honest. The biggest myth of all, isn't that the women's featherweight division?
Oh,
what else?
Oh, I got. Yeah, there you go. Nothing, Marco. All right, I'll give my phone.
No, he didn't like that.
Nada.
I think the aliens took him.
All right.
Nada, you get nothing.
All right, guys, let's get into it. We're going to go to the Bellator. MMA on Spike TV. Bellator 183, Henderson versus Pitbull. And that's the Patricky one, not the other one. It will take place again Saturday, September 23rd. And this, by the way, you guys can all see it because it's on Spike, not FXS. Let's start off with, you know what? We're going to start off with the featherweight division we go, the real one, not the mythic one that in the women's division in the UFC. Aaron Pico will fight Justin Lin. Aaron Pico, of course, highly touted, 20 years old, 0-1. I believe that's also my record. No, actually, I'm undefeated because I've never fought. The highly touted Pico lost his first pro fight via a ton of eyes, guys, because everybody was looking. One of the biggest Bellator cards ever, Bellator 180. He will fight Justin Mortal Sin Lin. Who? Justin Mortal Sin Lin. That's mm-hmm. right. 28 years young. 7-3, guys. Lin has lost his last two pro fights, but he was on a four-fight win streak, including two RFA fights. We will go with Marco. Marco, will it be Justin Mortal Sin Lin, or will it be Aaron Pico?
Dude, I'm still going to go with the prospect guy because they wouldn't be featuring him if they don't believe in the guy. I mean, we saw what happened the last fight. He got overconfident, got caught with an overhand right, and then it was caught on him. I think they're not going to throw this kid to the wolves because what is the point of signing him and paying him all that money if you're not going to showcase him and give him a fight that is winnable for him? They make a mistake once, but Scott Coker is not a stupid man. He's not going to make the same mistake again. Now, my high trim is not as hard as he was before with Aaron Pico, so I think he's going to do a serviceable, smarter fight. He's going to use his wrestling. He's going to grind this dude out. He's not going to have to stand with him. He's going to go the safer route, Alas, you know, Gregory Gillespie this weekend, you know, at the other the USC prospect that kick ass this weekend in the USC. I'm picking Eric Pico with a 29-28 unanimous decision. The other dude is going to show up probably for one round, and then Pico's going to figure it out and win a 29-28 unanimous decision. That's going to happen to say about this fight.
Wow. So Marco going with Pico again via the decision. Pam, I'm going to you because I'm really confused on this one because I don't know what Aaron Pico is right now, to be honest with you. So, Pam, I'm going to you. Okay. Will it be Justin Mortal Sin Lin or will it be Aaron Pico?
Okay, well, keep in mind, I was still, when I called in, still doing this pick because I was thinking about this all day long. And you look at Aaron Pico's, his debut wasn't anything to write home about, but nothing to be ashamed of either. This guy, he's a baby. He's 20 years old. You know, he's 20 years old. I don't know if it was fight night jitters. I don't know if it was like first time jitters, you know. I don't know. But his meat and potatoes is wrestling, and that's what he is a wrestler from day one. But, you know, again, 20 years old, he's so young and completely different. When you look at, you know, how many 20-year-olds have come to fruition or have been successful at that age besides Rory McDonald. Okay, Rory Mac started very young and was good at a very young age. And then you've got this guy, Justin Lin, who I really don't know anything about, and he's 28 years old, 5'9". Aaron Pico is 25'7". But this guy has 7 wins in his little column here. And 4 of those wins are by submission. So I don't know if Aaron, with his wrestling background, is going to be able to take him, because this guy has ground game also. Marco's going by a decision. And I don't know. This is a hard one to call. But I'm going with Justin Lin. I think that Aaron Pico, he's still too young and too inexperienced. I think he needs to just get some more experience under his belt. And I'm going with Justin Lin on this. And I don't want to say, I'm going to go second round. I think it's going to be leg injury, leg sweeps, I think. Something to the leg, but TKO second round.
Very specific, Pam. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, so Pammy going with a TKO, KO. It's all the same to us guys on this show. So Pam going with a second round TKO. Marco going with a decision. Proteus, I'm going to throw to you because I forgot to give the odds and put them on our write-up. But Justin Lin, an underdog at plus 330. Aaron Pico, Marco, a huge favorite at a minus 410. Wow. I'm not sure I agree with that, guys. So, Proteus, I'm going to you. Will it be Justin Lin or will it be Aaron Pico? And I said Pico, not a Pico. Nothing. All right. I got
like
nothing on that one.
Pico de Gallo?
No, like a coat, the Pico.
Peacoat, yes.
Oh, Peacoat.
Nothing.
Okay. You don't want to know what we call Pico in Chile.
Uh-oh.
I can imagine.
Hold on. Yep. Marco gets a wow. You know what? I'm not sure I want to know either. But we'll give you this anyway. Before we go to you, Proteus.
Marco.
Fuck that.
Right. Thank you. All right, Proteus, will it be Justin Lin or will it be Aaron Pico?
Yeah, Tony, I have to agree with you and I have to agree with Pam that we really don't know where Aaron Pico is. Of course, we do all remember the last time he was on the Bellator card with all that pressure. I don't think that any of the pressure has gone away from Aaron Pico at this point in time. They have to put Aaron in against some people that aren't just, you know, cupcakes, you know what I mean? And this guy definitely is not a cupcake. Justin Lin, his team association is Team Tompkins. And we know anybody knows anything about anything, Team Tompkins is a very good team. I see here that why Pam is going with some kind of leg injury. His last two wins were by a leg injury. He's coming off of two losses coming into this fight. But I think I have to agree with Pam here, my friend. Unless Aaron Pico can really dominate the wrestling game against a gentleman in Lin who is in his prime, let's be honest, 28 years old is probably about one's prime. 7-3, as Pam has said. I don't know, man. Tony, I agree with you. I don't know who Aaron Pico is at this point in time. I don't know whether or not going right into Bellator was the best thing for this gentleman's career. I think maybe if he would have taken some fights in a lesser organization and got his wits about him, because, I mean, he's a specialist, and we've seen this in the past. If you're a specialist, you can have some kind of degree of success, but that degree of success does end in MMA at some certain point. I'm going to take Justin Lin. I'm going to take him early. I think he gets this thing finished in the first round. I'd probably maybe some kind of injury, as Pam had said, chopping away at that leg, because clearly that's something that he likes to do. I'm going to take first round TKO. Thank you, Tony. Justin Lin.
Wow. So Proteus and Pam both going with an early stoppage, TKO, KO stoppage, going for Justin Lin. Marco, I'm going to ride with you on this one. I figure the professionals understand what's going on, because I certainly don't on this one. I think there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Pico. There's no doubt about it. We know he's a wrestler. We know his striking has improved a bit, but we still don't know where we're getting. And I agree with Proteus. I think he needed a few more fights in the LFA or maybe, somewhere, right? But I think he needed a few more fights. I'm going to go with you on this one. And believe it or not, guys, you guys are going to think I'm crazy here. I'm going with a third round submission. Yep. Third round submission. I'm going Aaron Pico. I think somehow he pulls it off. I don't think they'd set him up, like Marco said, for another failure. Of course, he wasn't set up the first time either. But I don't know, guys. I'm going with the pros. I'm going with a third round sub. All right, let's move up, guys.
Hey. Before we go, wouldn't you agree if Aaron Pico were to lose this bout, like somebody in Bellator, a matchmaker, should get fired for mismanaging this guy? Because they spent a lot of money on Aaron Pico. And if any people were to lose to Lin, there's still some changes that need to be made. I mean, it will basically torpedo this kid's career before even it starts. You know what I'm saying? Peace out.
You know what? You're right, but I go ahead, Pam.
Oh, so he's kind of like a Bellator's version of our Sage Northcutt, if you will.
Yeah, but in Bellator, historically speaking, they always have regional fighters to fill the undercard. It's not like they cannot they're not able to find an 0-0 fighter or a 1-0 fighter for Aaron Pico. They keep throwing here the 7-3, 8-4 guys. Mm-hmm. You know, the first two guys, like, they get experienced guys. Why haven't Bellator been able to find a guy with the same
record?
The same level of mad experience that Pico got, like, especially on the cage. Because I don't understand this. I mean, I still see Pico wins, but if he happens to lose, and it's a really good, a real possibility, you completely torpedo this kid's career even before it starts, you know? Because they keep talking to guys that are more experienced than him.
Maybe it's a gamble that they're taking, because if he starts beating these guys that have wins in their column, it adds to his credentials, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's just a chance they're taking. Who knows?
It's a big gamble. Okay, next.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys, although I will say this. Rich Chow is probably not going to be canned. That's for darn sure. He's a big Scott Coker guy, so that's probably not going to happen. But I agree with you guys. And hold on, Proteus, I did want to say this. You said we don't know where Aaron Pico is. We do know he's in Whittier, California.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing. All right. I'll give myself crickets on that one, guys. Let's move on. To the welterweight we go, Proteus. Paul Daly, 34 years young. Hold on. Where's our music? Oh, boy. This is going to be a mess. To the welterweight we go, Proteus. Paul Daly, 34 years young. 13, 15, and 39. 15 and 2. 39, 15, and 2. That's a lot of fights. He's a huge underdog. Not a huge underdog, but he's at a +195. Semtex Daly, of course, lost to the incredible Jorge McDonald in May. McDonald, of course, making his Bellator debut. Daly is 3-2 in his last 5, 7-3 in his last 10, including a 5-fight win streak during that time. He will fight Lawrence Larkin, UFC's former UFC, Lawrence Larkin, 31 years young, 18-6-1, and a good guy. A -235 favorite. The Monsoon has lost his, of course, his Bellator debut against Douglas Lima, the champion. However, he did beat Neil Magny and Jorge Masvidal in his last two UFC fights. Proteus, we go to you. Will it be Paul Daly or will it be the Monsoon?
Yeah, I don't think that Paul Daly stands a chance in this fight, unfortunately. I mean, he has the puncher's chance, of course. But just seeing the way that he really got dominated by Rory McDonald in May did not really buoy my spirits in the Paul Daly corner. Lorenz, as we know from his UFC career, is a very, very talented fighter. Lost a close fight with Douglas Lima. I believe that went 5 rounds. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was a decision that won that fight. Like you said, wins over Neil Magny, wins over Jorge Masvidal. Yeah, this guy's no joke. And I think Lorenz needs this fight. I think Lorenz knows that he needs this fight. He needs to show out against Paul Daly. I don't understand why Paul decided to go with Lorenz. I think that he would have had a much safer fight going with Venom Page. I think he might have had a better chance against that kind of an
wow.
opponent. Well, I do. I mean, it still would have been a tough fight for him because Page is a dynamic fighter and a young fighter. But Lorenz is, you know, close to Paul Daly's age. Kind of, like I said in this previous fight that we were speaking about, kind of in his prime, you know, that, you know, 28 to 30, 32 kind of range. And I just think he gets this one done. I think Paul is dangerous in one way. Again, he's going to try to take your head off. And I think Lorenz is smarter than that. I think he's showing over his career that he's smarter than getting dragged into a kind of a Paul Daly kind of fight. I think Lorenz takes this one down. I may go 3 rounds. I doubt it, though. Probably I'm going to go 2 rounds. Lorenz gets it done by submission.
So Proteus definitely going with the Monsoon, and I think we want the Monsoon to win. But you said a decision, right, Proteus?
I said 2nd round submission, please.
Oh, 2nd round sub. 2nd round sub for Proteus going with the Monsoon. Marco, we're going to go to you. Is it going to be Sentex, which you're the only one that knew what that was, because I certainly didn't, or maybe Proteus did. I didn't. Or will it be the Monsoon, Lawrence Larkin?
Sentex. British special forces kind of explosive that is compared to C4. That's what Sentex is. It's an explosive.
Yes, and wow. Paul famously, hang on, sorry, Marco, 1 second. Paul famously going on the an interview in the UFC telling us exactly what he had in his hands, and Semtex is what it is.
Now, that said, I think the Monsoon, or more closely the Hurricane, because we are on this part of the hemisphere, Lawrence Larkin should win this fight. I mean, I don't think the odds are off whatsoever. I don't think Larkin is going to take this to the ground because he's not known for being a grappler or even a wrestler type, but I think he is a better striker than Daly. Daly is a pressure forward, gonna knock your head off kind of fighter, and that is tailor made for Larkin, that is a really good counter puncher. He got really good movement. Sentex, Daly like to plant his feet to throw those bombs, and Lawrence Larkin is always on the ball of his feet, moving around to set up those counter punches and set up angles. It's going to start fast and furious. The best opportunity for Daly to win this fight is on the first round, and then, like usually he does, he's going to faint, and then Larkin is going to start picking him apart. If Larkin doesn't take him up late on the second round, then he's going to win a probably a unanimous decision 30-27. But I'm going to go with the highlights, so I'm going to pick a late second round KO TKO for Lawrence Larkin.
Wow. So Marco not only has a great, great, good audio right now, to be honest with you, but also going with Proteus on a second round. He's going KO. Proteus, of course, going with submission. We go to the beautiful lady, Pammy. Will it be Semtex Daly or will it be the Monsoon?
Okay. On paper, this actually is a pretty interesting fight. You have Lawrence Larkin, who's actually a boxer and Kung Fu and purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you have Paul Daly, who is a kickboxer, Muay Thai, and also a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But right now, Paul Daly's, as of late, claim to fame was his first round flying knee knockout of Brandon Ward, which was really cool. But you know what? I have, truth be told, I've got Lawrence Larkin winning this, and I've got him a second round TKO by elbows. He has wins over Masvidal, Magny, Ponzi, and Robbie Lawler. But I think Lawrence Larkin is just, I think he's just a little more better rounded, better suited for this fight, and second round TKO elbows for me.
Wow, Pam. So everyone sees. Go ahead. Go ahead, Marco.
I know Kung Fu. Good
yes. Show me.
Hey, hey. Oh, hey, real quick, a really good point that Proteus made is I don't understand, for the love of God, what did they make the Michael then on page five, because Paul Daly really tried to sell that after he lost to Rory McDonald. He was joined at Michael then on page on the arena. They were joined at each other. I mean, it was a lot of hype about that, and now we get this fight. I like the fight, but promotionally speaking, it makes no sense.
Is he injured? Does anybody know?
Don't know. I cannot tell you.
Guys, I'm torn on this because Lawrence Larkin reminds me a lot of my boy, Uriah Primetime Hall. All the talent in the world, but we don't know which version of Lawrence Larkin we're going to get. In terms of talent-wise, there's no doubt about it. He's a little taller of a man, certainly explosive in every single stretch of the imagination, and really a good guy. I've actually spoken to him. A good guy. He said he was going to be on the show, but we needed to contact his manager. So, good guy. Here's the thing with that we don't look at in Lawrence Larkin. In his career, guys, we look at a lot of the finishes, but he's been in a lot of decisions. A lot of decisions with some good with some good strikers. Masvidal, you name it. You know, Derek Brunson. He's been friend to a junkie Brad Tavares. He's been in a lot of decisions. Paul Daly's chin isn't what it used to be. Lawrence Larkin, we don't know what we're gonna get, but somehow I think I'm gonna go with Marco on this one. I'm going with the second round KO simply because Marco said this about a different fighter, about Pico. I think. There might have been Proteus that said this about Larkin. He needs this fight. So, and I think he knows he needs this fight. I'm going with Larkin. I'm going second round KO Larkin. All right, guys, let's move up.
Did all of us pick the second round? I think we did, right?
All of us chose the second round, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact, I could be wrong, the fact that we all like Lawrence Larkin. So I think that has a huge pull there, guys. Guys, let's move up in weight. We're going to my weight. To the heavyweight we go. Simply because I'm over 185 pounds and I'm under. No, I'm in a light heavyweight, right? 195, what is that, Proteus? That would be the
exactly.
Division that hasn't been created yet. We go to the heavyweight we go, guys. I'm sorry?
Never mind. Go ahead.
All right. To the heavyweight we go, guys. Javi Ayala, 29 years young, 10-5, a plus 185 underdog, Proteus. Javi Candy Eye Ayala. Candy, let me know if I need to start playing pony for you. Is that of Porterville, California? Oh, that will not answer my text messages, so I'm not sure he's a friend to the show. I would say he's an enemy to the show at this point. Ayala, of course, 3-2 in his last Bellator 5 fights, 6-4 in his last 10 fights. He will fight Roy Big Country Nelson, 41 years young, 22-14, a plus 225 favorite, making his Bellator debut. He's 2-3 in his last 5, but guys, here's a bigger picture that I always like to see. He's 3-7 in his last UFC 10. So, Pammy, we go to you. Will it be the big country or will it be your boy, Candy Ayala?
Okay,
Candy.
So he said, oh, no, not eye candy. Give me an eye patch, please. If you look at the losses, you know, the seven losses, okay, you're looking at the Black Beast, Overeem, Hunt, Cormier, Stipe. You know, come on. So, well, that's not bad people to lose to. But, you know, he's 41, as you would say, long in the tooth. 72-inch reach versus Javi Ayala's 75-inch reach. But he's, you know, for a big guy, he's actually pretty athletic. He's a black belt in Kung Fu and a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu.
I know.
I'll supposed to say, show me. I know Kung Fu. Show me. From Matrix, right? From the Matrix. But you know what? I think Javi Ayala is coming. He's got 5 first-round TKO wins in his last 10 fights. So it's going to be an interesting fight. But keep in mind, Roy Nelson's got a chin on him. I don't know if that beard acts as a buffer or some cushion, but I think because it is his debut, I'm looking at Roy Nelson. I want to say, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's going to be, you know what, third round unanimous decision. I was going to say first round, and that was too much. That was, yeah. First round was too far out on the limb. I would have fallen off, but third round decision, big country.
So Pammy going with big country. Pammy, your audio is a little choppy, by the way.
Sorry.
Pammy going via decision, that is better. I'm going to you, Proteus. Proteus, this is a, you know, we were talking about matchmakers, matchmakers in Bellator. This is a tricky one. So, and not a putt tricky one. This is a tricky one. I got nothing. All right. Proteus, what say you? Will it be Roy Nelson or will it be Javi, not friend to the show, Ayala?
Yeah, I think what you said was right about Roy Nelson here, Tony. That, you know, his record hasn't been great in the UFC over the past little while. And of course, yeah, I mean, going up against the toughest of the tough in the UFC. But I don't know, man, this is a really tough fight for him. I mean, his opponent, Roy Nelson's opponent, last beat Sergei Karatanov pretty early in the first round. Well, a TKO in the first round. So that's pretty impressive in my book. So I think, you know, we're going to have two really heavy hitters here going at it. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I mean, as we were speaking about in the last fight, this is a big fight for Roy Nelson as well, because they're clearly sinking a lot of money into him. They've, you know, done a couple of YouTube vignettes with him.
Yeah.
I think that's the correct word. And he comes off quite charming. He comes up quite delightful. It's good to see him being used like the UFC didn't use him. So this is a very important fight for him and a very tough fight. I mean, we know what Roy Nelson's going to do. He's going to go in there and try and knock somebody's head off. I think that Javi wins this one, though, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that Roy
wow.
is going to be able to go the distance in this fight, as he usually does, but I think that he might get beat up a bit like he usually does in his fights as well. I think this is a very tough fight for him, and a guy at 10-5 who's, you know, looking to me very impressive from his last fight.
Wow, so Proteus going with did you choose did you say KO?
No, I said decision, but I think a KO is possible as well, but I think it's going to go the distance. Roy Nelson's chin is going to hold up.
Wow, all right. So wow, this is not a good a good thing for UFC fighters making their debut. The only one that's been successful at it really has been Jorge McDonald. So Marco, we're going to you. Are you going to be the voice of reason here? Proteus choosing Javi Ayala via decision, Pam sticking with the decision, and Roy Nelson, he does have an incredible chin. Marco, I'm going to you. Will it be the favorite Roy Nelson, or will it be the underdog Javier Ayala.
First of all, Matt Mitrione also got a good debut, so don't sell Matt Mitrione short. But no, I agree with Proteus, man. For all that is worth, the blueprint to beat Roy Nelson is out there. This is not a Roy Nelson that is trying to put combinations on you anymore. He's overloaded on the right hand too much. He's very plodding. He's very static. And after the first round, his gas depletes quickly. And if you stick and move with Roy Nelson, you can always pull a decision on him. And I see in Ayala, everybody knows that it takes an out of guard, also know of Mark Hunt's right hook or right uppercut, to knock out Roy Nelson. It is really difficult to knock out Roy Nelson, but you can outwork him. You can outlast him. And I think that's what Robbie Ayala is going to do. If they got a smart corner, that will be the way to go. Just stick and move, and let Roy Nelson tire himself out and just keep peppering him. I agree with Proteus. Because Ayala is going to stay on his bicycle, it's not going to be an exciting fight. Roy Nelson is going to complain that he didn't want to fight him, that he ran away from him. He's going to be trying to launch that right overhand over and over and over again. But Ayala, I think, is going to outpoint Roy Nelson, and it's going to be an ugly, ugly 29-28 decision.
Wow. Okay, so Proteus and Marco going via the same route, choosing the underdog, Javier Ayala, via decision. Pam actually going with Roy Nelson via decision. Guys, I agree that this is a really tough fight. I agree that it could be ugly for either fighter. The problem is that Roy Nelson has faced competition and better competition than Javier Ayala at this point. Not that the kid isn't talented, because he is, but Roy Nelson has certainly faced higher-end competition. I think Roy Nelson, man, his chin is still there. His speed for bigger fellow, I think, is pretty decent. Javier Ayala is a very talented fighter. I just don't think that he can compete with the likes of Roy Nelson, even at the age of 41 years young. So I'm taking Roy Nelson. I'm taking Roy Nelson via KO, and I'm taking via KO in the second round. I think Roy Nelson, I keep saying Roy, I think Roy Nelson actually is going to come out. I think he's happy. I think he's going to show he's happy. So I'm going to show second round KO for Roy Nelson. Let's move up, guys, to the lightweight we go. And actually, one of my favorite fighters of all time, and you hear me saying that a lot in a lot of shows, but Benson Henderson, as you guys know, is not only a great person, but he's a great fighter. Marco Patrici Pitbull, 31 years young, 17-8, a plus 160 underdog. Patrici, of course, 3-2 in his last five, losing to Chandler via vicious KO, and then losing to the very talented Derek Anderson and Marcin Held before Marcin Held became a UFC fighter. He will fight. Probably my top three favorite fighters of all time, Benson Henderson Bendo, 33 years young. Smooth, of course, 24-7, a minus 185 favorite. Benson, of course, lost a super close Bellator fight, and I was there to Mike Chandler, and believe me, guys, it was close aside from that suplex. He's 1-2 in Bellator, surprisingly, of course, fighting the first, gosh, it escapes me, a bigger man. Keep in mind, he has had a bad knee, did have surgery after his fight with at Bellator 155 with Chandler. So, Marco, we go to you. Will it be smooth, or will it be the Pitbull?
Oh, man, I've been going back and forth with this fight. I seen if the fight finishes early, it's Pitbull, because Pitbull knock out Benson. That said, Benson does not get knocked out easy. I mean, the last guy to dig him like that was Rafael Dos Anjos, and that was a long time ago. Benson is a super smart guy, and the grappling of Benson is superior to Patrici Pitbull. I mean, Patrici Pitbull, the Pitbull brothers, it's well known that they're really good strikers, but their grappling is suspect. And when they lose, they usually lose because either they get out grind or they get straight out and knocked out. So Benson's going to put up a smart fight. he's going to grind this guy. Remember, it's a three-round fight because Bellator doesn't do five-round fights in the main event. So Benson is going to put the pressure on Patrycki, push him against the cage, grind him against the ground, pull him down, ground and pound, rinse and repeat for all three rounds. And he's going to win a 30-27 unanimous decision. Benson, for all his, you know, for how good he is, he's not really a good finisher. For a long time, everybody knew he was a decisionator. And he decisioned a lot of people in very close fights. This is not going to be a close fight. Benson is going to fight smart, Patrycki in the ground, grind and pound him, and win an easy 30-27 division, their decision.
All right, so Marco going via decision for, and you're right. I mean, Bendo has been in a lot of decisions. Tammy, we're going to go to you. Will it be Smooth Henderson, Bendo, or will it be Patrycki Pitbull?
Okay. I like Benson Henderson. He's been, since UFC, been one of my favorite people to watch. What we have to remember also, Benson Henderson also has 8 submission wins. He has 11 decisions, but also 8 submission wins. So that's something to keep in mind there also. The Patrycki brothers or the Pitbull brothers, the twins, whatever. You know, this one, he's a black belt, jiu-jitsu, but I think what happens with them is they kind of get too emotional when they fight, and then I think they lose focus. You know what I'm saying? And Benson Henderson, he's always been so disciplined, and it's like everything that he does is for a reason. He's taekwondo, boxing, jiu-jitsu, wrestling. So he's so well-rounded on his feet and on the ground. He's got a black belt in taekwondo, a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Cardio is not a problem for him. I mean, his hair gets messed up, and he needs a better ponytail holder. But, you know, both of these guys have losses to Michael Chandler, but I think that Benson is going to get this done, and I'm going a second-round TKO, and I'm going to be kind of specific. I think he does it with kicks, leg kicks, because he ain't got those big thighs for nothing. But Benson Henderson for me, second round.
Wow, so Tammy going with the... Go, Marco.
The people brothers are the Pushman Diaz brothers, and over-under, Benson Henry will get a toothpick on his mouth on the fight.
Ouch. Under.
I'm going the other.
Proteus, we... Brodius, we go to you. Will it be Bendo, or will it be, what did Marco say, the lower-end Diaz brothers? I don't even think it's close. The Diaz brothers are good.
The Poor Man's Diaz brothers.
Poor Man's Diaz brothers, if they were under, well under 6 feet. Proteus, we go to you. Will it be Bendo, or will it be Pitbull?
I think, as you guys have alluded to ahead of me, that this is a very interesting fight, very intriguing fight. As you have said, we have not seen Benson for quite a while. I mean, when I was researching this fight, I was like, where has Benson been? You know what I mean? Like, we have not heard his name in such a long time. And thank you. That concerns me because, you know, what we say about guys who are off for a long period of time, they get maybe have a little bit of ring rust. And Benson, as everybody has alluded to, has not really looked great in Bellator. He wasn't looking really, really great at the end of his UFC tenure. I mean, he finished strong, but we know what Benson Henderson is bringing to the table. So the Pitbull brothers have been a perennial contenders in the Bellator organization their whole career, and they're a mainstay. They're tough. They're gritty. I just don't know what's going to happen in this one, mate. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been conflicted about which Benson Henderson is going to show up, if he's going to be able to, you know, pour on that wrestle game. But I think I think I have to take Benson Henderson in this one as well, Tony. I think maybe he's going to be able to squeak out a decision as well. So I'm going to take Benson Henderson in three.
You know what? That's not a bad call. Proteus, of course, also choosing Bendo. Bendo all across the board. Marco choosing a Bendo via decision. Pam, second round KO. Proteus going decision. You know what, guys? I do think, and mind you, listen, you guys know I'm a huge Bendo fan, so you know, take it for what it's worth. But I do think that Bendo has lost a little bit of speed. I do think he's not as explosive as he was. Injuries are a huge part of that. But I think he's going to go back to the well one more time, guys. As Pam was saying, the Treaty Pitbull's game on the ground, even though allegedly, and well, he probably is a black belt, but there's different degrees. I don't think he's very good on the ground because I don't think he likes being very good on the ground. So I think somehow Bendo is going to submit Patrici Pitbull. The Pitbull brothers gas out usually in the second, first, you know, one and a half, two rounds. So I think he's going to gas out, and I think Bendo is actually going to start taking over. As you guys know, Bendo notoriously is a slow starter. So something to look at there, but I'm going Bendo. Maybe my heart's telling me to do that. Third round submission, Bendo. Guys, we're going to restart the show because, of course, we're going two shows on this one. Of course, the first one being Bellator 183, Henderson versus Pitbull. The second one, of course, is UFC Fight Night 117. And insert whomever is the headliner there on that one. All right, ready? Well, I hear a lot of noise. You guys hear a lot of noise?
I hear babies. Yeah, who's got babies?
Right, it's poor Proteus. Yeah. All right, guys, let's restart the show. Here we go. Sorry, we forgot to run the ad. Let's run the ad, and then we'll restart the show.
We are brought to you tonight by Lavazzi International, the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sinks, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, bike design, or maybe their puzzle design. Check them out, lavazzi.co.uk. That's LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. The promo code is FANGO, and you will go ahead and save yourself 25% off of any purchase. Now back to the show.
Keep that frequency clear.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fight.
Here we go, guys. UFC Fight Night. OSP versus Okami was, of course, going to be Ruhua versus OSP, also known as UFC Fight Night 117. It will be held September 23rd, of course, in Japan at the Saitama Super Arena in Saitama, Japan.
Saitama!
Guys, have you been there? Have you been there, Marco? Because I know you've traveled in a lot of places.
Yeah, I never had the pleasure to go to Saitama Super Arena, but I did in Okinawa.
Wow, lucky you. Now, honestly, I think that is awesome. All right, guys, let's do the intros real quick, and then we got to fly through this. So let's start off with the beautiful lady herself fighting, of course, out of the North Carolina, forgive me, the Blue Devil, Blue Corner, hit it.
Good evening one more time. How's everybody doing?
The beautiful Pam, the American woman, indeed, as Proteus would like to say. Let's go to the North Carolina Tar Heel Blue Corner. Up north, hit it.
Waza. What's that?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that makes me laugh. And that's only usually when Marco is on. So let's hit it, guys. Fighting out of the red corner. The one and only, the most famous guy on this roster. Hit it. That's right, Marco. Hold that microphone as close as you can. That's what she said. I gotcha. All right, guys, let's move up because we're going to start off with we're going to go with top three UFC fights, and then you're going to give your spotlight fight of the night for time reasons. So let's go into it, guys. To the Japan, Japanese. I totally lost my. I don't know what the heck I'm saying. I really lost it there, guys.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
That was
to the
funny.
Gumi corner we go. Gummy bears. I'm trying to do a funny there, and it didn't work either. Takanori, the fireball kid, Gumi, 38 years young. Proteus said sooner or later. When you're 38, you can no longer be the kid unless you're the California kid. 35-13-1, and he will fight not the Dong Young Kim that we know, but the other one, the maestro himself. 14-8-3, 29 years young. Proteus, we go to you. Will it be the maestro, or will it be the old fireball kid? Proteus?
Sorry?
Is he on baby duty?
No.
He is on baby duty.
I was still laughing about the earlier faux pas from Tony. I apologize.
Oh.
What the hell did I just do, huh? That was horrible.
I don't know, but it was hilarious. I apologize. Yeah, listen, the fireball kid here, right? This is where we're starting. And guys, I know why Takanori Gomi is on this card, but I don't know whether or not he's got a lot of excellent fights ahead of him in his future. He's coming up against a tough, really tough guy from South Korea, and Dong Hung Kim. I hope I said that right as well. I tried my best to get the pronunciation right. Look, I think the Fireball Kid's best days are behind him. I'm going to take Kim. I'm going to take him early. I think that Takanori's going to want to, you know, get into a firefight with this kid, and it's not going to end out well for him. I'm going to take Kim. I'm going to take him second round KO.
Wow. All right. So Proteus, of course, going Dong Young Kim, the second round KO. Pammy, we go to, forgive me, Marco, we go to you. Will it be the maestro, or will it be the fireball?
The fireball kid's best days are way past, man. We saw the tail end of Takanori Gomi's career on the USC. This is not the guy that fought on Pride or on a Dynamite, on all Dream. He's not the same guy. Come on. We have seen a slow, very sad decline of the fireball kid. Maestro Dong Young Kim, this Korean dude, he comes to fight. Every single time he goes up there, win or lose, he's putting up a fight, and he goes up there all out. He's going to put Takanori Gomi out soon because Gomi's chin is super suspect this day and age. You wince at that. You look at his chin, and he falls. I'm picking Dong Young Kim, and I'm picking him
out.
Probably in the first 3 minutes of the first round, he's going to put Takanori Gomi out. And I hope, for the crying out loud, on Japan, Takanori Gomi, announce your retirement. Nothing to prove, man. You know, you're not going to be a champion. You're not going to be a contender. And Dong Young Kim, after he puts your lights out, just put your gloves in the middle of the cage and retire in Japan in front of a whole bunch of adoring fans.
Agreed.
I think that's what's going to – yeah, I agree with Proteus and Marco. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Sorry to give you my pick right away, but that's what I think is going to happen. Pammy, we go to you. Do you agree? Is it going to be Gomi, or is it going to be Kim?
Oh my God! Well, you know what? In my heart of hearts, I would hope that don't be scared, Gomi, would take this and then retire. Now, how you like that? It would take this and then retire. But you know, he's coming off four straight losses. Every one of those four straight losses have come in the first round, which tells you, his chin is suspect, his body, everything is suspect on him. So. In my heart, I would love for him to win and say, okay, I got my win, I'm done. Now, is that going to happen? Most likely not. I think Kim, and his record isn't that great, too, 14-8-3, you know? So, you know what I'm going to do? Just because I'm going to go out on the furthest limb with one little tiny leaf hanging, and I'm going to say Gomi takes this by decision and retires.
Wow, really? All right. So Pam is going, I think her heart is leading her that way because, Pam, give your drop again. We're going to do that drop all the time now. Hit it.
Oh, don't be scared, Gomi.
so Pammy, go.
Perfect.
Pammy, I think, is going with her heart on this one. I could be wrong. Pam, correct me if I'm wrong, of course. Kim,
I am. I really am. Yeah. Stranger things have happened, so.
Pam, of course, Pam, of course, the only person going with Gomi at a Gomi, of course, a plus, a 195 underdog. Proteus, myself, and Marco all choosing Dong Young Kim. Marco and
don't
I going
scared,
first
Gomi.
Round KO. That's right. Proteus going second round KO if it could only be that way. But I hope he retires after this one, guys. Win, lose, or draw, I hope he hangs him up because it's a good career. Guys, to the women's flyweight we go. And I struggle on this one, whether or not there should be Careless Whisper. I think there should be, but I'm not sure that, anyway.
Careless Whisper.
Believe me.
Hear the music.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. And this one's going to be tough because these are both Pam's country women fighting, and usually she's gonna go straight for the Brazilian, but Pam, we go to you. Jessica Andrade, 25 years young, 16-6.
Oh my god,
a plus 210 underdog. She will fight Claudina Gadella. That's right, it's Claudia and it's Gadella, not Gadelia. 28 years young, 15-2, a favorite at a minus 270 favorite. Pammy, will it be Jessica Andrade, who you met at Junkie, or will it be the winner, Claudia Gadella?
Okay, I was torn because, I love these girls. They're, some of my favorite girls, Jessica being my favorite. But, I think, and I was looking at this, and Sure Dog and UFC has each of them listed as different heights. So whatever, it doesn't make a difference. There's a 1-inch reach advantage over Claudia. Now, I want Jessica to win, but the only thing that's holding me back is Claudia is a black belt and Jessica is a blue belt, but she's also a Muay Thai. She's also a light blue stripe in Muay Thai. They have the same amount of submissions. Jessica has 5 more KOs than Claudia does, and Claudia has 2 decisions more than Jessica does. So, I don't know, man. This is I'm going to go with Claudia only because I think she's just a little bit more experienced. I think her fight resume is just a little tiny bit more impressive, but I'm taking it as a split decision.
Wow, so Pammy going split decision and you're choosing the winner, Gadella, is that
right? I'm picking the Brazilian. How about that?
Wow.
Who are you picking?
So,
who are you picking?
No, I said Claudia Gadella split decision, not unanimous. I think it's going to be a split decision win.
You can't even give her a straight up decision. It's got to be split. Well, Pam's right. Exactly. I think Claudia has a lot more Proteus, a lot more jiggly bits. That's for darn sure. But Proteus, we go to you. Will it be Claudina or will it be Andrade?
Well, if we're going to take a poll of who looks better in their underwear, taking pictures with their Louis Vuitton iPhone case, I think I'm going to go with Claudia Gadelha on that one. I don't even know how those Calvin Klein underwear was staying on her because she's so skinny. Anyways, back to the real things that are important. Listen, this is a very, very intriguing fight, guys. This is like, a top end of the division kind of a fight. Both of these women have recently fought the champ. Of course, Claudia fought her, a couple of fights ago, but Andrade, more recently. And I think this is a real test to see where Andrade is. I mean, with the drop down in weight, seemed to have helped her. She seems to have the advantage. And I think that she would probably have the size advantage in this fight as well against Gadelha. But it's going to be such a good fight, hopefully. Hopefully it's going to be a good fight. Hopefully the women will deliver in this fight as they usually do. I think Gadelha is going to be able to survive the early onslaught by Andrade and get a decision. I don't know if I can see a finish. If there's a finish, it's going to be Andrade. Andrade is going to finish the fight by KO. That's if there's going to be a finish, that's what it's going to be. But I'm going to take Claudia Gadelha by decision.
All right. So Proteus also going Claudia Gadelha via decision. He's right about that, Marco. Go ahead.
1 second. Tony, I wanted to just mention that as you were introducing this fight, you said the winner, Claudia Gadelha. Right? Is that what you said?
Oh, I did say that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Anyways, moving on. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here, but we will see, who, in fact, Proteus, who comes up on top, because you're right. A lot of things are going to be heading up after Claudia Gadelha gets off the scale.
Whoa.
All right. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Claudia Gadelha or will it be Jessica Andrade?
You know, what I like about this fight, of all this fight on this card, this is the best on paper. You know, you got the number one and the number two contender on the division going at it. I love this fight. My heart is on Andrade. My head says Gadelha. So it's kind of a conflict.
Right.
But I tell you what, I'm going to go against the grain on this one. I think if it goes the distance, it's Gadelha's fight to lose. But Jessica Andrade is such a little tank, and she hits so hard. And if she pins you against the cage, she throws those hooks like freaking Lineker. And if she catches you, you're in trouble. And I'm going to roll with Andrade because of the two fights, Gadelha, Jędrzejczyk, and Andrade. Jędrzejczyk, Andrade came out on the better end. Gadelha got her ass beat. Andrade actually had the chance. Remember, Jędrzejczyk, I was like a big freaking apple when she caught it with that freaking right overhand. So I'm picking Andrade just for a hunch. And I think, just to make it interesting, it's going to be a second round TKO. She's going to be able to pin Gadelha against the cage and catch her with one of those overhand hooks, either the left or the right. Gadelha's going to be in trouble. She's going to crumble, and then she's going to finish it with ground and pound. So I'm picking Andrade with a late second round TKO. There you go.
Wow.
Right,
so this is a shocker. Because I was going to ask Marco, will it be Pam's favorite or will it be Pam's favorite? So, I agree with Pam and Proteus. I think we've seen what we see. I think Claudia's too smart for for Andrade's, you know, brawling type game. I think Andrade actually has a hard time, as we know, guys, making weight. So it'll be interesting if she can make the weight to begin with, because she's fought as high as bantamweight. But I think it's going to be a boring fight, guys. I agree. Thank God, Proteus, for you, it's meritocracy here, right? It's number one versus number two. Unfortunately, I think we're going to see a not so good fight, because both of them have to travel as well. And I think Andrade is going to struggle making weight, guys. So I'm picking Claudia Gadella via decision. All right, guys, let's move up and wait.
Real quick, the loser of this fight, I think, is going to move up to 125, because there's nothing else. If you lose to the champion and then the next contender, you're kind of sort of lost in the mix. So I think the loser, either Andrade Gadella, their next fight is going to be at the new flyweight division, 125 for women. I'm just saying, bold prediction.
I don't disagree with you there. I think a lot of people are going to be moving up to 125, Pam. I think you're absolutely right
on that. I think so, too. It's a more realistic weight class.
I definitely agree. Guys, let's move up. This is our last fight before we go into spotlight fight of the night, guys. The light heavyweight we go. We don't know who's going to be there, but we think it's going to be Yushin Thunder Okami, 36 years young, 34-10, and he will fight the very talented, but of course, as we often lament, sometimes not always on, OSP, Ovince St. Preux, 34 years young, 20-10, and it's going to be interesting, guys, because I don't think we're going to get a good fight of this. But Marco, we go to you. Will it be the Thunder or will it be OSP?
Oh, OSP, you know me. Dude, I'm scratching my head on this one. You know, if it would have been the original fight, OSP versus Rua, I would have picked OSP all day. That's because we saw the first fight, how they go, quick knockout. But hey, man, a little known secret out there is that Yushin Okami is on a 4-5 winning streak right now. Of course, it's outside of the UFC, but it's still, the guy is riding up in confidence. Not the same case with OSP. Okami is riding up in confidence with a 4-5 winning streak. OSP is not. And I know it's a short notice fight for Okami, but it's not like he's going to have to cut weight, because he usually fights at 185. He walks around at 210, 205, so he's not going to be like cutting massive amount of weight like OSP is, and it's a different fight, you know. OSP is getting ready for a puncher, a guy that is going to come and strike with him. Okami doesn't play that game. Okami wants to pinch you against the fence and try to muscle you to the ground and make it a really grinding, boring fight. The fight, if it ends early, is because freaking OSP was able to, catch Okami with a submission or catch him with one of those weird freaking hooks that he lands sometimes. But I don't think it goes that way. I think Okami is on contour. You know, he didn't have to adjust to any change time. He got no pressure on him. He's coming back fight into the USC on contour with adoring fans, people that know him up there. So there is no pressure on him, really. He doesn't have to cut weight. He was actually getting ready for a fight when he got the call. It's not like he wasn't training. He was getting ready for a fight on what is his name? I don't remember the name of the organization, but out there in Japan.
PFL.
So he, thank you. So he is in some sort of shape, you know. He is kind of ready to fight. And I seen the chance of opponent for OSP. One thing that we know about OSP is that between the ears, he doesn't get it sometimes. He doesn't pull the trigger. He gets, you know, he freezes sometimes. When he doesn't know what to do, he literally doesn't know what to do. And Okami, for all his faults, he always fought for quality competition. He fought for the championship against Anderson Silva. He fought Chael Sonnen. He fought the who is who in the middleweight division. I got a hunch that Okami's going to win this in a very, very tight split decision, a 48-47 split decision up in Japan, you know, a little bit of home cooking for Okami on a real
quote-unquote upset, and maybe in a division that he might actually do well, because light heavyweight shallow right now, and introducing Okami to light heavyweight might be a good thing. He's a John 36, you know? It's not like he ever took too much damage because of his style of fighting. The more abuse he ever took was from Anderson Silva, because that knocked him out cold. But besides that, he doesn't take that much abuse. So I'm picking Okami on a very boring, grinding 48-47 split decision.
Wow. So Marco really shocking me tonight, guys. He's going Okami via decision. Yeah, Marco's right, and he made a lot of sense that Okami's not cutting weight, but he also means he's not going to basically rehydrate to a much larger weight either. So that was interesting. Pammy, we go to you. Will it be – hang on, let me get this straight, Pammy, because will it be the Thunder? Will it be OSP?
You know me? Okay. You know, this one was a little bit kind of hard to pick because I was looking for Yushin Okami and I had to go to all these different sites. And he is coming off of a four-win streak. He lost to Sugar Ray in 2013 before he went to World Series of Fighting. I was looking and he normally fights at 170 or 185. And that was my concern because he's fighting at a catch weight. But like Marco said, he's not cutting weight. Okay, you're not cutting weight, but you have OSP who is cutting weight. So when he finishes cutting weight and he hydrates, he's this big, gigantic football player dude that's used to throwing people around. He's OSP is a wrestler, very conditioned. He's also a great striker when he's on his game. You know, and my questioning with OSP was fatigue, you know, the flight over there, the time change, you know, that messes with you. But I'm thinking that OSP is going to first round TKO because he's going to want to go back to the hotel and take a nap. So OSP, you know me, first round TKO.
So Pammy going with OSP and one thing that is interesting to note, Proteus, is OSP does lose, but he doesn't lose to he only loses to the upper tier. Let's not forget, guys, that he went to John Jones and he a non-juice John Jones, right, Proteus?
Yeah, I was allegedly. Just going to say that.
So,
yep.
Proteus.
With the broken arm.
We go to you. Exactly. Will it be OSP or will it be Thunder Okami?
I just wanted to go ahead and point out that if we were actually going with the original theme of this song and what OPP actually means, we probably wouldn't be celebrating it as much as we are, but it is fun to do.
What does it mean?
I'm not going to say it on the air. Thank you very much. I'll tell you off the air.
I celebrate the song.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
My God.
All right. Wow. I know where Marco is coming from here. It's really good to see Yushin Okami back in the UFC where, you know, he probably should end his career. And I hope that that's what happens with this run, Tony. I don't think that he can beat Ovince St. Preux. I don't think he can beat him on as short notice as it is going to be. Yes, he's going to be in good shape. He's definitely going to be probably the smaller fighter. I don't know. I mean, Yushin Okami usually is a pretty big fella, but it has been noted, he's been fighting at 170 in the recent past. This is a big jump up, but as I said, he's a big man in the first place. So hopefully we can see a good contest here. I see a lot of people saying that, you know, Gedalia Andrade should be the main event because, you know, the main event did drop out. Could not make it due to injury. And
I agree
I don't
with
know,
that
man.
Statement, by the way.
Thank you. I don't know. You know, guys, we're so hard on these UFC cards nowadays. I mean, we're going to watch it. Like Marco says to us, and I'm going on off on a quick tangent here, Tony. As Marco always says, we're hardcore fans. We're going to watch this. We run an MMA podcast. We have to watch this, right? So we're going to watch it. And the story of Yushin Okami coming back. Thank you, sir. The story of Yushin Okami coming back to the UFC is just enough to sell this to me in the first place. I just want to see Yushin back in the octagon because, you know, he had a win streak coming into that last loss that he took, and the UFC just got rid of him. I mean, that's not the way you treat people who have been, you know, fan favorites. Anyways, long story short, OSP's getting this done early. Second round TKO.
And I agree with Proteus. I think...
If you look at the definition of hardcore MMA fans on the dictionary, it's a picture of all four of us on it, man.
Right. And this card shows up right beside our name.
Hardcore, that's right. Because we are hard... never mind on that one. All right,
don't
guys.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I mean, listen, Proteus keeps sending me pictures of Claudia Gadella in her divvies, and I'm not going there, Proteus. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go there. You know me. We have a little bit of class. Yeah, you know me. Other people's property, and it's something else. All right, I'm actually going with Proteus. I'm going second round KO OSP. Guys, let's before we leave, let's do this, guys. Let's pick a spotlight fight because there are a lot of fights in this card, and we could have easily added another two or three fights to this. So we're gonna start off ladies first. Pammy, we go to you. What is your spotlight fight of the night?
My spotlight fight is Juicy De Silva and Luca Sasaki. I love him. If you've ever watched him, Uka Sasaki, he's 5'10", like weighs like 10 pounds, and he just goes into these crazy grappling and submissions. He's a Greco-Roman wrestler. He was on an 11-fight win streak before he had a couple of losses, but last three wins have been by submission. He's really fun to watch, and he always comes out with these funky little haircuts and haircuts. He looks like a fairy. He looks like a hot elf. So cute. But that's my spotlight fight of the night.
I like
hot
that
elf.
Formiga Sasaki
Marco.
Fight. That Formiga Sasaki fight is a really, really good fight. Good job there, Pam.
Of course,
I'm going to go with a homeboy. Teruto, where are my bitches? Ichihara versus Rolando Dye, man. I mean, he got a little sleeper on his last fight. You know, he lost his last fight. But not shame of losing, you know, his last fight. I forgot who he lost to, but was it Jason Knight? I'm not sure. Whatever. But Teruto lost, but I think that they're setting him up for success on this fight with the Silva. This kid, for all his flair and his nonsense about, you know, trying to get laid after his fights with a whole bunch of different women.
That's right. Okay, I remember.
Yeah, Teruto, what are my bitches, Ichihara? He's a good fighter, and he's a knockout artist. I like this fight. I think Teruto's going to get it done, so that is my spotlight fight of the night.
Guys, I'm actually going to steal one of Marcos's sort of picks that he had, and that's Gokhan Saki, the kickboxer, the glory kickboxer, versus Enrique Da Silva. This is going to be interesting, and someone's going to go down, guys. So this will be interesting. Sakila losing his first, of course, the Turkish fighter. So we'll see what happens there. Proteus, I'm throwing to you.
Okay, so Ishihara's last loss was to one second, Gray Maynard. Secondly, yes, that Gokhan Saki fight is going to be very interesting. My spotlight fight of the night is going to be Abe versus Lim. However, Tony, I wanted to throw our condolences out on my spotlight fight of the night to Kane Velasquez and AKA. We have got some news coming out of the camp that Kane's back surgery, the disc replacements that he was going for did not go as well as planned. So this is very, very sad news as we, have ties to AKA and Javier Mendez, friend of the show. Just some kind of really disappointing news for me, Tony. I heard it come out today, and James Lynch and George from Colorado and I were having a quick conversation about whether or not this is the end of Kane. And I mean, it just kind of seems like that is. And I apologize for hijacking, but I just had to mention that real quick.
No, and that's good. You know, I have not heard so. Yeah, I have not heard so. Thanks for a break. Go ahead, Marco.
No, I heard the rumors too, and that is what you're saying is correct. It's a shame, man, because I was really looking forward for the Velasquez versus a Stipe fight, but that's not going to happen, dude. It's a real shame. But so much potential lost because of injuries. Because this guy, probably the most injured heavyweight ever, so a lot of unfulfilled potential.
Yeah, it's certainly sad. So we'll see what happens. Let's get the heck out of here, guys. It's certainly we have a lot to talk about. We can go on for forever and ever and ever. And if we don't have anything going, maybe we do a show on Friday or maybe Thursday. We'll see. Go ahead, Tammy.
You guys, real quick before we leave, guess what's happening Sunday?
What's happening Sunday?
What's happening Sunday? We've got Jason Knight back on the show. We had a little, his kid had hidden his phone in the toy box, and so he wasn't able to call in this past Sunday, so he's going to be on the show with us this Sunday.
Hey, Tony, sometimes life gets in the way, right?
Sometimes life gets in the way. And listen, major props, honestly, Pam, to Jason Knight for being... being proactive, reaching out, and definitely apologetic, class guy. So we look forward to having him on. So let's close out, guys. Let's go to you first, ladies first, Tammy. Anything you want to hit up, plug, or anything you've been watching, anything?
Oh, let me see. Westworld. I finished Westworld. So if y'all haven't watched Westworld, that's a pretty good show. I'll give a shout out to Jason Knight. He's going to be with us Sunday, future belt holder, so it's going to be a really great privilege for us to talk to him.
Absolutely. Good call, Tammy. All right, Proteus, we go to you. Anything you want to plug? Anything you've been seeing? Anything?
Yeah, I would like to plug the latest installment of the Distraction Pieces podcast by our boy at Scroobius Pipio. This particular interview was from an Arab investigative journalist who has grown up in the western part of the world. She puts her life on the line interviewing, ISIS, people from ISIS, people from, all kinds of bad people that we need to understand. And it was a very, very interesting conversation. And I think everybody should go and check that out. The Distraction Pieces. This came out today, Wednesday. September the 20th. Check that one out, man. It's very, very educational, and everybody should listen to it, especially with the times we're living in right now.
A documentary?
Indeed. No.
Podcast.
Oh, okay.
All right,
okay,
so I'd like to plug Claudia Gadella's Instagram, at Claudia Gadella UFC. Not sure, but I'm sure everyone would be interested in that. Marco,
you
close out your show.
Herbert.
Cochino.
Well, I'm gonna plug a Netflix show again, because I'm on the rabbit hole on this Marvel Hero series, Luke Cage. If you like your chat on steroids and bulletproof, check out Luke Cage. I'm really, really into this Iron Fist, Daredevil, The Punisher, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage series. I'm going one by one, and I'm going to finish it up with The Defenders. So check out Luke Cage on Netflix. Now, follow DJ Tony at I Am DJ Tony. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow Produce at App Produce. Follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Rate and review us, knuckleheads. We need the freaking reviews.
There is two fights this Friday, and the Reaper of UFC Fight Night on Saturday on FS2. If you miss it on FFX, we gotta lead you guys. Catch you guys next time. Enjoy the fights.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Fuck your bitch ass belt too.